Hey, Bryce, it's Robert. You know, the only person who didn't make the Zaddy calendar that you ever met that was on Survivor. Family visit coming up this week. Call me back. Baby boy. Baby boy.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and baby boy, I'm stuffed like a turkey, okay? I need me a little detox. I need something. After all that good Thanksgiving food, I am stuffed. Now, back in the day, when it used to be Thanksgiving, I used to hate the leftovers because it was like my mom used to make turkey sandwiches, turkey soup, turkey tacos, turkey smoothies, okay? I'll be like, can we get something else? Can we get some pizza? But listen, as an adult, I live for the leftovers, okay? When I left my mom and John's house over the weekend, baby boy, they done packed me up a to-go-go. Not a to-go, but a to-go-go bag, okay? My mom put everything in it, different containers. I'm just cannot stop grubbing on it. So, yes, how was everyone's Thanksgiving? I hope you guys had a great time with your family. Mine's was nice and quiet with my family, just the way I like it. But yes, you know me, always busy as a bee. So I had to go to Delaware to be with my mom and the fam for Thanksgiving. Then I had to run around the world, it seemed like, because my friend Joey Hatch, who I always talk about on the show, you know, he has a band called Hatch Fest, but he also plays in another band. And they had a show this weekend, so you could just call me a groupie because I just was with the band. And so the band's name is Dave Patton and the First Cut, and they are like a rock alternative type of band. But oh my god, they blew me out the water. This is the first time I was seeing Joey play live with this band in New York, and when I tell you, they were amazing. They got some really, really good stuff. You guys can follow them on Instagram, DP_the first cut, and if you do follow them, tag them and say the Purple Pants Podcast sent me here. But yeah, they were amazing. So then I had a little weekend in New York, then I had to get back because, you know, I had to get my stuff ready for work. You know, I left my house a mess because, you know, I was just ripping and running, throwing clothes everywhere. So, you know, I had to come back and clean my house, try to get my zen ready for the work week. But listen, we got a good episode for you guys this week. So, you know, we got the church announcements. And on the menu this week, we got Survivor Talk. We got the Prodigal Son is back up on there. And then we got Atlanta Housewives. We keeping the menu short this week because, you know, we got the Purple Pants picks, which I'm also keeping short this week because we got my mom Barb. You know, I did an interview with my mom over the weekend and it is amazing. We took some questions, we just had some talks, we did some advice with Bryce. So that's really what I want the meat and potatoes of this podcast to be, is you guys meeting my mom Barb. And you know, we got the freak of the week this week. Listen, without further ado, let's get into these church announcements. My first church announcement is Bryson Wynn Presents. Now, let me tell you, hold on, wait, I ain't even wet the whistle. Hold on. Wetting the whistle with some Tito's and some mango orange juice. Delish, delish, delish. Shout out to my mom for the Tito's bottle, okay? Now, the Bryson Wynn Presents the watch party last Wednesday. When I tell you that thing was jumping, ladies, leave your man at home, cause Bryce is winning, throwing them parties, jumping, ladies, leave your man at home, cause Bryson wins, party be jumping. Whew, we had such a great turnout. Thank you so much to all of you guys that came out, that supported, you know, anything me and Wendell do, you know, we gotta take it up a notch. So we had hidden immunity idols all over the place, and if you know, you found the hidden immunity idol, you may have been able to take home a lemon with the whistle wine glass. Okay, we had a Survivor theme menu. We was popping. We had Survivor players come on out. We had Jervis. We had Russell Swan. We had my girl Ramona. You know, I was there. We had Wendell. You know, we had a Philly native, Karishma, from this season come out. She brought her squad. And let me just tell you, Karishma's people, her family, her friends, they know how to have a good time. And then also, oh my God, we had Mike Holloway pull up to the event, which really like touched my heart. And so I'll give you a little Purple Pants podcast tea juice exclusive story. So when Mike Holloway, his season first came on, me and Mike used to like talk all the time. We became like really, really good friends, and we're still really, really, really good friends. But I would say maybe over the last year and a half, we had a slight falling out. Nothing major, nothing crazy, but, you know, I was in my feelings. You know, I get emotional sometimes, and I just, you know, I was in my feelings, and I let Mike know how I felt. And, you know, of course, Mike is such a great guy. You know, he reached out to me. You know, he tried to repair the friendship. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you be in your feelings, and, you know, you want to hold on to grudges. And so, like I said, I was on a road for a better Bryce. And so, obviously, there was never any love lost for Mike, but I just felt some type of way about that. But, you know, we've had conversations since, and we've been really trying to like repair our friendship. And so it was just so amazing that like he didn't tell me. And mind you, I thought Wendell knew. I'm like, you knew he was coming. And Wendell's like, I didn't know. And so Mike Holloway came. And it was just like, you know, baby boy, I shed a little tear just because it just really meant a lot for me to have Mike there. Obviously, you know, he supports everything that I do. But it was just really good to see that he took the time and the effort to kind of come out and surprise me. And of course, to be with all the other Survivor players. But it was really, you know, heartwarming. But yes, the Bryson Wynn Presents watch parties was jumping. I can't say thank you enough to everyone that came out. It was such an amazing time. Next on the church announcements, I'm just letting y'all know, if you follow my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook, you know I did a little Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale on some of the Purple Pants merchandise. So, you know, we got the Wet the Whistle, the calendars, and I'm just telling y'all now, the Zaddy calendar, the who? What child, let me wet the whistle. What's going on over here? I'm just letting you guys know that the Zaddy calendar and the Hot Girl calendars, they running low. They all running low. So if you want to get them for the holiday season, you want to get them for the 2020, you know, because when they go, this is it. Baby boy ain't restocking them no more. So listen, you want a Zaddy calendar, a Hot Girl calendar, you better get them while it's hot, because they selling like hotcakes. But you know, I got the Let Me Wet the Whistle wine glass. I got my Purple Pants hoodies. I got some hats. So I got some really, really fun stuff. So I'm just letting y'all know, when they go, boom, 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 they go. But all right, let's get into this. The menu, I think we got some Survivor talk with our boy Jack Atkins from Chicago University. All right, and we are here with the Purple Pants Survivor News. And you know I got to bring in my resident reporter, Jack Atkins, reporting live from Chicago University. Baby boy, are you there?
Yeah, what's popping, man? Sorry, one sec. I'm just looking through my bag. Oh, I found it in my bag. It's the heat and the smoke. Oh. What are you looking for? Oh, baby.
Yes. Well, what's popping with you over there in Chicago?
Man, we just got back from Thanksgiving break. Just had an awesome weekend to relax, and now we got hella work this week, but we got Survivor on the horizon, so you know we're going to push on through.
Whoo, yes. Well, come on. Start with that heat and that smoke. What's popping? What happened this week?
So we had a great episode, man. I know you and Wendell had a little watch party. So it was popping. But we got a couple different topics, a lot of fun stuff going on this episode. For starters, last week I think we misinterpreted the GOAT Army, because apparently Dean doesn't think he's a lieutenant.
Yes. Is it possible he listened to the podcast?
Maybe. I think he time traveled a little bit. Don't underestimate Dean. He can time travel. But we see him make this fake advantage for the fake advantage. What did you think of that? Is Dean a genius, or should he be in the GOAT Army?
I don't know. I felt like that was a very GOAT Army-esque move to make a fake idol for the fake, whatchamacallit, what you think?
The fake? I thought that shit was genius, honestly. Because think about Dean wasn't an art student or nothing, but it was right. Looking pretty good. And when Jeff held it up at Tribal, I was like, that's not a good fake. But if you're sitting in the chairs at Tribal, and you would know better than I, you probably can't see the writing on that super well. So I think it was passable. And if Dean's legacy advantage that Jamal gave him was actually real, then not only does he buy himself, like, safety at this round because no one was going to vote for him because they knew he was going to play the legacy advantage, but then he could get safety at final six again with no one suspecting that he has a legacy advantage, so he keeps the target off of him. Unfortunately, it's not real, obviously, but I thought it was pretty smart.
So did I, and I really thought, like, you know, the last couple of, like, I would say the last two episodes, we've really been getting to see more of Dean. You know, first half of the season, baby boy didn't talk. We just got to see them pecs. And now he's kind of like, you know, we're seeing his gameplay. We're seeing his artwork. I mean, so he's really kind of emerging. I don't know. I'm like,
candidate for the 2021 Zaddy calendar.
Oh, who you never know. Yeah. Definitely is. He is a little piece of something to look at.
Of course, of course. And then, so Karishma, I know she was at your watch party, and she had a big night. But I want to start off with a moment that she wasn't directly involved in. But, Bryce, do you remember when they were going through Karishma's bag to look for an idol?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Is that ethical?
I mean, so I don't really know, because I have to say, when I was on Survivor, you know, was dead, you know, didn't spend that much time.
Way back then.
Wait, keep it cute. Wasn't that long ago. You know, I did look through people's like bags and stuff. I didn't go through them. I kind of like felt them a little bit, but that was never caught on camera. So I don't know. It's like a sticky situation. It is the game of Survivor. So if you put in your idol in your bag, then it's up for free game, you know, for someone to take a peek and look at it, because that idol needs to be hidden on your body, or you need to dig a hole, bury it, and keep it in safekeeping.
Yeah, true that. But they didn't even find it, which was the hilarious part. They're like, oh, she just got a necklace with shells on it. It's like, bitch, that's an idol. It's a look.
It's a look.
To me, I think, like, I just think it's a little weird when you take someone's bag and, like, walk away with it and then check. Like, if you're just chilling in the shelter and it's there, you know, maybe take a peek. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Anything's fair in Survivor except for Dirty Dance strategy of being deep. But let's not even talk about that anymore. Let's get right to Tribal. Or actually, before Tribal, we see Elizabeth. And, you know, she got the target on her a little bit. Ultimately, she goes home this week. But I remember a line of her saying, like, her strategy at this point is just hoping. She's just sitting back and hoping it's not her, because she thinks she's too big of a target. What do you think of that strategy? Because ultimately, she didn't have the majority of the votes. It kind of worked out that Karishma did blow her own game up. But also, it just felt like a very, very passive strategy from Elizabeth, who honestly, like, sure, she's a great athlete, but I don't think her social or strategic game is that fantastic to warrant her being such a big threat.
Right. I mean, I guess physically she's a threat, but yeah, I don't really see her that much as such a social beast and like really maneuvering. I didn't really see her as such a huge target for her to play that game like that. So it did confuse me. So I was like, baby girl, what is you doing?
Even if you are a big target there, which I guess the other players might have perceived her to be, it just felt weird to see her be like, oh, I'm just going to sit back and hope it's not me. Like, you got to do something, baby girl. Like, come on.
Definitely. You got to make sure your votes is with you. You got to make sure the voting blocks are together. You got to make sure your alliances. You got to make sure you're talking to the people that you know you're not with. So, like, yeah, kind of like it's just weird for you to just kind of sit back. I don't really like
I'm
players
sure
like that.
I'm sure she did a little bit that we didn't catch, but it just felt like she's kind of sitting back and hoping for the best, which it was not ideal.
Yeah, I mean, she sat back and hoped for the best, and unfortunately, the best didn't come. She got sent home.
Yep, and then, you know, right at Tribal, I know Karishma, like I said, at your watch party, she negated, what, 7 votes with that?
Whew.
With that and, idol?
I mean, baby girl was blowing them out. It looked almost as if she had a blow dart. Yep. Every time that her name came up, she was blowing them out. I just love when an idol is played correctly. Like, not correctly, but correctly, correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's just like, you know, the fact that it's like literally your vote is the only vote that counts when you're knocking somebody out. Now, that is how you build a resume. And like I said in my It's a Look with Robert Sestorino, she and her photo looked like she wasn't playing. And we definitely are seeing a more...
She's not messing around.
No, absolutely. We're definitely seeing a more powerful Karishma. We're definitely seeing a more strategic Karishma. Now, I hope that she can kind of keep her emotions in check and, you know, doesn't really blow up too much, because, I mean, I'm thinking, like, you know, she's a part of the Go Army, and this is definitely, like, you know, someone that people will want to bring along with. But at this point, they got to be scared, because it's like, wow, she just, like, this was a resume booster, okay? Yeah. This shot her resume right up to the top of Indeed.com.
Strategy going, and now she's got to get that social game. Hopefully, Karishma can get a little charisma, if you know. And then Ultimately, Karishma voted for Janet, and Dan, maybe doing the only good thing that he did all season, voted for Elizabeth so that they could vote Elizabeth out on the revote. What did you think of Lauren playing the idol in response to Karishma playing her idol?
I kind of liked it a lot. You know, Lauren is another one that's been growing on me a lot. We don't really get to see her a lot in the beginning. Of course, we see her. She's very visible. But we don't really see her making moves. We don't really see her taking control of her game. And I respect that because, listen, I'd rather play an idol and not need it than have two idols in my hair and go home and die. Ooh. So, listen, you got an idol, play it. And Lauren is definitely another one that's on the rise for me that's like, oh, my God, can Lauren actually win this game?
Yeah, she's feel like Tommy and Lauren were taking a lot of control this episode in a very smart way, which I give credit to Lauren too, because I don't know if she had that in her.
For sure. And definitely, like, Tommy, we don't see a lot of Tommy. And so, like, I sometimes question, like, is Tommy getting a winner edit? Because it's like, we don't see Tommy a lot, but he's always on the right side of the votes. There's always people seeming to come to him, to talk to him. I'm like, let me find out baby boy might be running that game over there. And I wouldn't even be mad. I mean, at this point, with, like, the people that we have left, I'm definitely team Lauren. I'm definitely team Tommy. I'm definitely team, you know, Janet.
Of course.
But... it's just, you know, it's just interesting to see how these people are shaping out. Like, you know, the people that you don't really see a lot in the beginning, now all of a sudden the numbers are less and they got to maneuver a lot more.
Yeah. And I will say, originally watching it, I was like a little confused why Lauren played the idol. But if you think about it, they really didn't split the votes because they didn't think Karishma had an idol. If you're Lauren, you know, all the votes might be on Karishma. And at that point, Karishma might be voting for anyone, including you. And that idol's only good for that tribal and the next tribal. So you might as well use it. You don't want to go home with an idol in your pocket like
right.
everyone else has done this season.
And you just never know. Like, in my opinion, it's like, please play the idol. And with Survivor, is one thing that I've learned is that you got to play for today. I mean, you have to play for tomorrow, but you definitely have to make sure that you can play today so that you could be here for tomorrow. So I'm all for her playing that idol.
Yeah, and if Tommy and Lauren do seem... like, I feel like they do have a great grip on the game, and maybe we're not seeing a ton of them because... it could be almost so obvious because there are so many people that others consider goats in the game right now. They could really be running it. And if you have a good grip on the game, you want to avoid that risk of going home with the idol. So you might as well play it and keep your control after that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for my questions and my news for this week. Thank you for bringing it out to Chicago for the Survivor news.
You already know. Well, stay tuned for next week. It's the family visit. So, you know, that's a big one for me. So be so curious to see what happens. But always, thank you so much, Mr. Jack Atkins, bringing us the Purple Pants Survivor news, baby boy.
Of course, baby boy. Have a great week.
Yes. Now, moving right along on the menu, we have the Prodigal Son. Now, I gave y'all some weeks off because, you know, I understand Thanksgiving was coming up. We had a lot of work to do. So I took the Prodigal Son off the menu for a little bit to give you guys time to watch up. But listen, whoo, is the Prodigal Son getting so, so good. Now, you know, little recap, main character is Malcolm Whitley. He comes from a very prestigious, rich, wealthy family in New York City. He works for NYPD as a profiler. His dad is a notorious serial killer that basically Malcolm turned him in. You know, his daddy, Martin Whitley, he's currently in jail. You know, he got his mom, Jessica Whitley. She likes to wet the whistle. And, you know, his sister, Ainsley, who's like a reporter. So we kind of left off with Malcolm and Ainsley. Ainsley wanted this report from her dad because, you know, she's a reporter. She's not really that good. She's just a pretty face and nobody really takes her serious. So she really is the character in the show that had like the least amount of contact with the dad. And so, like, you know, she's kind of like on the outside a little bit. And we see like Malcolm's neurotic ways. You know, he chains himself to the bed. He's got these night terrors. We see his mom, who is an alcoholic. Well, I don't know if she's alcoholic. I won't label her that. But she enjoys a good wetting of the whistle. She takes pills. She likes to cover things up. She likes to be in control of things. So we left off with Ainsley and Malcolm. They went to the jail. Malcolm, they were working on a case, and Malcolm needed to speak with his dad. Ainsley was at the jail with the dad. doing a report. And, you know, she was with her boyfriend, the camera guy. And so basically, we now know that Malcolm's dad set this whole thing up, that basically another one of the inmates got free, attacked the guards, practically almost killed Ainsley's cute boyfriend. And so it was left up to the dad to basically do surgery. And they were really nervous about allowing him to do the surgery because they're like, you know, he's a killer. He might want to kill them and all of that. But while they were cutting the boyfriend up, Ainsley got the camera and she recorded. She said, I'm going to get this story by any means necessary. So we start to see this hunger in Ainsley about getting the story. And it's about any means necessary. Like, you know, first of all, girl, your boyfriend is practically dying and you grabbing the camera. So we see this building in the character. So after that, you know, the police find out that, you know, Malcolm's daddy did it. So they put him on in the hole. Basically, you know, this ain't love after lockup, but basically they put him in a hole, segregated. So no contact, no nothing. So now we see Malcolm and he is still working on this new case. We have the case of the killer who tried to shoot him in the garage. And the last episode that we left off was, you know, Malcolm was with his mom and a phone starts to ring. And they're like, where is coming from? And basically it's in the basement behind the wall, and Malcolm's mom is like, yeah, that's your father's office, you know, after he got arrested I wanted to put an end to all of it, so she just covered up the wall, she just covered up his office with a wall. Child must be nice. If that was me, I would need to use that for my shoes, you know, make that little walk-in closet downstairs or something. So Malcolm breaks down the wall, answers the phone, and basically it's the killer, the junkyard killer that was shooting at Malcolm, that they found all those bodies. And basically he's like, I'm an old friend of your dad, you don't remember? And you know, Malcolm's like, remember what? He's like, you know, that weekend. Now, in previous episodes, I've been telling you that, you know, Malcolm saw this photo of him next to this Winnebago, that he like is keeps having these flashbacks. He's blocked out certain parts of his memory, so he keeps having flashback about this Winnebago. He doesn't know whether or not it's real, whether or not if his mind is playing tricks on him. And so this guy, the junkyard killer, is basically like, you don't remember? So it's essentially confirming to Malcolm that, like, oh snap, this really did happen. So basically the killer reveals to Malcolm that he's been working with his dad this whole time, and that, like, you know, that they maybe even killed together, and that, like, you know, Malcolm's dad has been a friend and a support, so much that this guy calling his phone in his basement, and child, the basement been walled up, a wall was in there for over like 20 years. So Malcolm calls the police, you know, they get down there, they're doing all of this stuff, they put a trap on the phone, they're like, if he calls back, you know, we'll be able to trace him. And Malcolm's like, oh, he'll definitely call back. And so the conversation that Malcolm had with the guy, Malcolm basically realizes through his profiling that this guy feels like he is doing the Lord's work, and that he is really like out here killing these people because he feels like it's his duty. And the main people that the junkyard killer has been killing is like junkies and stuff. So, you know, they go back to the office, they're trying to figure out what's going on. Some new evidence comes in, and they realize the way the guy was talking, he told Malcolm, you disturbed me. And so Malcolm is like, disturbed him, as if he was like in the process of doing something. So then they're like, maybe we missed something in the junkyard, maybe there's another body. Okay, so they go back to the junkyard, and they figure out this little secret layer where there's this like young man there. And so they rescue the young man, and so they're like, yes, we got the young man, we saved somebody. So they get the young man to the hospital, and so they go back to the office, they're working on stuff, and basically the junkyard killer calls, they start getting the profile, and they're like, wow, this guy, he was homeless, he was an addict, and he used to go to this missionary, Baba Boo's missionary. Now that ain't the name of the missionary, but for the Purple Pants podcast, it's Baba Boo's missionary. And so two of the other victims, they used to go to the Baba Boo missionary. So Malcolm and the detectives go over to the missionary. They talk to the reverend. The reverend is a drinking reverend. He liked to wet the whistle too. And basically, like, they share with the reverend that, you know, three people have been taken from there, and the reverend gets really upset. He starts drinking, and so now some of the people are like, maybe is it the reverend? Did the reverend do this? So boom, they back to the office, and all of a sudden Malcolm gets a package. They like, oh, Malcolm, you got a package, you know, child, what you order on Amazon? What you order on Amazon Prime, Mr. Malcolm? But slightly and politely at the in the office, the package starts bleeding. They like, what in the hell is going on? So they open up the package and it's the Reverend from Ababu's missionary, his hand. And Malcolm's like, that's the Reverend's hand. So the killer, you know, the junkyard killer calls and he's like, did you get my present? You know, why did you go there? How did you figure out it was me? So that he's really, really like spooked out about how Malcolm knew that he had another person and how he figured out that that's where he was picking his people up from was the Baba Boo missionary. So he's really rattled. And so then I guess in return to rattle Malcolm, he's like, you know, you shouldn't go snooping, because when you go snooping, you get upset and you find things that you shouldn't find, like that girl in the box. Now, you know, this whole time of the memory lapse that Malcolm's been having, you know, he's been getting not these not the purple pants premonitions, but he's been having these flashbacks and he keeps remembering the scene of like this girl in the box. But then his dad drugged him and he can't really remember. So all this time, you know, even Lieutenant Aurora, who was the police officer that arrested his father, they're like, we never found anybody. There was never like, it's a figment of your imagination, Malcolm. You gotta let it go. So here is for the first time in the series that this guy is basically saying like, I know about the girl. And so you know about the girl too. So Malcolm kind of like sort of freaks out. All right. So then, you know, Malcolm tracks the guy down by himself because Malcolm always doing crazy stuff. So after that, you know, whole phone conversation, Malcolm was like, I need some air. Give me some air. So he goes outside, gets some air, catches his breath. He realizes that there's a guy across the street. And, you know, child, I guess he must know it's the guy. So the guy starts walking away. Of course, Malcolm crazy behind start following him. First of all, I would have called for backup. Listen, I think the guy here. So Malcolm follows him by himself. Okay, not just follow him on the street, down in the tunnel, in the sewer. The guy attacks him, almost beats him up, but really saves Malcolm because he realizes how much of Malcolm's father that Malcolm is. And so the killer kind of gives him a break. And the killer's like, you know what? If you want more information, I'm giving you the cell phone. Call me later. Not call me later. I'm gonna call you later. So basically, you know, Malcolm goes back to the police. Like, why would you do that by yourself? Now, Malcolm all beat up and, you know, hurt. Now, mind you, another little thing in this episode was Malcolm had a little dream of like this, like, female, like this dead female in his apartment, kind of sort of like trying to chase after him, cutting him, stabbing him. So when Malcolm was in therapy, his therapist was saying like, well, maybe this dream doesn't have anything to do with your dad and maybe has a lot to do with you. And Malcolm's like, well, what do you mean, me? And she's like, well, maybe your body is telling you, you know, you got to get laid. Maybe you need some sex. Maybe you need some release. So Malcolm's like, oh, okay. So this another ploy in this episode is that, like, you know, Malcolm is looking for a date. You know, he need to go on Tinder. He need to find him a date. So one of Malcolm's moms, who does the taxes for the family, she's a cute young girl, goes over to Malcolm's mom's house. Now, ever since this serial killer, the new serial killer, the junkyard killer is out, you know, Malcolm's mom's kind of sort of been on edge because it's like they don't know what the serial killer's motive is and whether or not like he wants to harm the family. So, you know, Malcolm's mom got her old pistol out and she carried it around. So when the tax person comes, she sees the gun and she's like, are you okay? Like, girl, what's going on? You in the middle of the day, you drunk, you wetting the whistle and you got a gun. So later in the episode, the young lady goes over to Malcolm's apartment and it's basically like, you know, I want to check up on you and your mom. I'm concerned about your mom. And so we kind of sort of see like, ooh, is Malcolm interested in this girl? But after that, the guy with the cell phone, the junkyard killer, he calls and sets up a meeting for Malcolm to meet the junkyard killer. But really, it's just a ploy for the junkyard killer to essentially get the young man that they found underground, that Malcolm realized when he said, I'm not done, you disturbed me. The killer really wants him. So he set up Malcolm, knowing that Malcolm would have the police and all them at one location, and really went to the hospital to try to kill the young man that he was originally killing. Now, mind you, this whole time, Malcolm's sister, Ainsley, who is her character, she wants this story. Her boyfriend has been in the hospital. You know, he wakes up from his coma and she working away at the computer, and he's like, Ainsley, she don't even see him because that's how bad she's working on this case. So Ainsley notices throughout the episode that while she's at the hospital, that they have this police guard watching the young man that they pulled up from the ground. And so she's like calling Malcolm, like, does this have anything to do with the killer? If so, you need to tell me. I want this story. There's a story and I need to let them know. She wants to go viral so bad. She's so thirsty. Okay. Baby girl is thirsty out here. She needs some water. So she blowing up Malcolm. Malcolm really doesn't give her any tea. Now, when Malcolm and the police are supposed to be meeting up with the junkyard killer, Malcolm realizes that, oh my God, he set us up. He's probably at the hospital trying to kill the guy. And who's at the hospital? Ainsley. So he calls his sister Ainsley. He like, you gotta be safe. Go in there and lock the door. But of course, like any other Whitley, she go right to the direct fire. She goes to the room where the guy is and she almost get killed. Okay. The killer see her. She gotta run, you know, but then the police come and save her. Now, on the next episode, the FBI come in because they like, you know what? It's too much going on. Malcolm is too close to the case. We want Malcolm off the case. Malcolm got to get up off this case because it's too close to home. So Malcolm is now forced not to be a part of this case, even though he wants so much to be in this case. Also, what happened that episode when Ainsley almost got killed, she went back to the room with her boyfriend to basically tell him, like, you won't believe what just happened. And the boyfriend got her computer and she is seeing the video of Malcolm's dad perform surgery on him. And he's like, what is this? And she's like, oh, I was going to tell you, but, and he's like, yeah, I get it. You want the story. And I understand that that's you and that's your passion, but I don't want anything to do with a person like that. So basically she loses her boyfriend over this, but we start to see this pattern in these Whitley families, like with the mom, the dad, the sister, and Malcolm, is that like they have this obsessive personality. Like, you know, Malcolm can't stop trying to chase these dreams and trace these killings. You know, Malcolm's mom can't stop from trying to stop their kids with further contact with the dad. And now here we have Ainsley kind of sort of trying to find her way. And her way is like, I need to get a story. I need to make it big. And, you know, at any point necessary, using her dad, using Malcolm. And so we start to kind of see like, well, what will she do to get a story? So I'm just telling y'all, Prodigal Son is getting good. It's getting good. I think the fall finale is coming out, or it would have came out when this podcast aired. So next week I will cover the last two episodes so we could get it popping. But yes, I'm trying to tell y'all, y'all got your homework assignments. Get into the Prodigal Son. All right. Now, next on the menu, we got The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Okay. The season is starting to pick up. So the main focus of this episode is Cynthia Bailey. Last season she did a Bailey Q. So this year she's having a follow up. So basically it's like all of the ladies essentially are getting ready for the Bailey Q. Now obviously Cynthia and Nene are not on good times. So Cynthia does not invite Nene to the Bailey Q. Now we see Nene this episode, you know, having a little dinner party at her house. She invites our good friend Marlo over. And last season there was a girl named Yavanna. Okay. Yavanna got really, really drunk every time that she was on the episode last season. Okay. So let's wet our whistle in honor of Yavanna. Okay. So she's still around. She's still good friends with Nene. So basically, like, you know, Marlo, Nene, Yavanna just come over, have a little cute dinner party. And Marlo is like, well, Nene, is this my apology party? And Nene's like, apology? And Marlo's like, yeah, the last time I seen you was running out for me in New York. And so basically, Nene is still on this Cynthia train of like how people don't see the real Cynthia and y'all going to see the real Cynthia. And, you know, I'm not apologizing for anything because anything that I said in an interview, I said it as a retaliation or because she said something first. However, Nene's like, you know, I really do just want peace. I would like to clear the air with Cynthia because it really does bother me. And, you know, her spiritual advisor. Okay, Nene is on a roll for a better Nene. Okay. And so she's saying her spiritual advisor advises this. And so Yavanna is like, see, this makes me uncomfortable because, you know, I've been friendly with Cynthia. You know, Cynthia opened up a wine garden over the last couple of months. Yavanna went there. Yavanna basically was saying while she was there that Cynthia was talking a little smack-a-dack about Nene and that like how Nene is just toxic to be around. And of course Nene's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. So also on the episode, we see a lot of Candy. Candy's daughter, Riley. I love with the shows with Atlanta, or just with all of the Housewife franchises, you just see the babies grow up. You know, Riley started off a little chubby, pudgy, little cute little girl, and now she's like 16, 17 years old. She's thinning out. She's looking good. I believe over the summer, Riley lost like 15 pounds. She's really finding herself. So, Candy says, like, every year she tries to, like, send Riley away to summer programs. Like, you know, she went to London. She did an intern somewhere else. But this year, she's going to New York City. Riley wants to be a lawyer. So, Candy is sending her to her entertainment lawyer's law firm for the summer for her to do an intern. So, you know, they really set her up really nice in a high-rise apartment. Child apartment is $5,600 a month. Woo! Chile! Oh! So, we really see, like, you know, Candy spending time with Riley, and, you know, them with this process of the surrogate. You know, she's going away. So, we really kind of see Candy with that. We also see, who else we see? We see Kenya. So Kenya and Portia go to like a dance with me baby class. You know, you strap your baby on and you do a little twerk, 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 twerk. It's good to see, you know, Portia and Kenya on good terms, because if y'all remember, like 4 seasons ago, you know, Portia lost her housewife title for getting in a physical altercation with Kenya on the reunion show. Okay, Kenya had that boar horn and Portia snatched it and pulled Kenya to the ground and whooped that. Okay, so really good to see them bonding. And yet again, you know, kind of Kenya shares like how she's not happy with Mark, and that, like, you know, she doesn't feel like they're not intimate. The baby sleeps in the bed with them. Mark focuses the majority of his time with the baby. And so again, we keep seeing this recurring theme with Kenya. Now, obviously, you know, kind of, you, although Kenya is a pot stirrer, a ish starter, you know, I really do like the more human side of her, and to kind of like see her go through that really breaks my heart. So we also have Portia trying to figure out working. You know, she's back full time at Dish and she has not found the nanny. Her mom's getting ready to go back to work. And so she really like does not have a nanny. So it's kind of like we see her juggling working, getting the baby, getting all of this good stuff. So as they're getting ready for the Bailey queue, people want to bring their babies. And Cynthia's like, listen, I don't want no kids at my house. It's an adult party. I'm trying to have a good time. It ain't no kids available. So we see a little bit of the day of the party that Cynthia and Kenya have a conversation. And I guess Kenya asks if she can bring Brooklyn. And Cynthia's like, no, I said no. So then I guess later on in the episode, Portia calls and was like, listen, I just hired my nanny yesterday and I don't feel comfortable leaving her alone, so I'm going to bring my nanny. And so Cynthia's like, oh, well, if Portia is bringing PJ, I got to call Kenya back and have Kenya bring, you know, Brooklyn. So we see Cynthia call Kenya and her child, Kenya dismisses her. Kenya's like, I already figured it out. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. Real shady. So the girls start arriving to the Bailey queue. And the whole thing of the Bailey queue is you need to wear a color red. And if you don't, you will get red. Okay, that's kind of cute, though. I like that, though, Cynthia. So obviously, you know, there's tension with the different ones of the ladies. So Eva and Cynthia have become BFFs. But we know that Eva and Kenya don't get along since, you know, the whole birthday party and Eva didn't bring her kids. The energy wasn't right. So we see Candy arriving to Kenya's house because they're going to go to Cynthia's house together. And so as Candy gets to Kenya's house, Kenya's like, yeah, this is the doll that Eva gave to me. And since my energy wasn't right, I don't really feel like it should stay here. So she re-gifts it and she's going to give it to Portia. Now that's shady. Girl, if you don't like it, throw it in the trash. Give it to the Goodwill. The holiday season is around. You can give it to some babies that don't have nothing. Like, why you got to be so shady? So, we also know that Marlo is going to be coming. And, you know, Marlo and Kenya don't like each other. And you definitely know that Marlo and Eva are having a hot to trot little dance off. They don't like each other. So, what I thought was so surprising was that, like, Cynthia invited Yvonne. So, Yvonne gets there and, like, you know, they're like, you invited Yvonne. And Cynthia's like, yeah, actually, me and Yvonne have really been on good terms. Now, however, Yvonne came there and child, Yvonne was like, so I wouldn't say, like, she was an instigator, but Yavanna definitely was standing up for Nene. So there was a couple of times during the conversations where I guess Nene name got brought up, and Yavanna was like, well, you did kind of sort of talk about Nene to me, and child, Cynthia got her together. She was like, I don't know what rock you came up under, but I'm letting you know what I said to you wasn't talking ish. It was how I felt, and if you wanted to bring it back to Nene, I didn't mind it, because that's what I said. So that was like a little tense moment there. Then when Marlo arrived late, you know, child, she was just throwing shots at everybody. So that her and what happened was, yeah, let me break it down because I've got to remember in chronological order. So Portia was with her baby and Kenya went out to her car and got the gift. And Portia was like, oh, thank you so much. Wait a minute. Ain't this the gift that Eva gave to you? Girl, you're not going to be doing all this shit. And Kenya like, no, I'm not being shady. And Portia like, girl, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So Portia wanted to be the mediator in this situation. She's like, listen, we're going to put everything on the table and we're going to fix this. So she kind of goes out and kind of brings the conversation up. And Eva's like, well, listen, I don't have no problem with you. And Kenya's like, well, you said you didn't want to bring your children around me because of my energy. And Eva's like, what I said was not in a negative way. Then, of course, Shady Bravo runs the clip. And it was said in a negative way. Like, girl, you were throwing shots. However, Eva was not the one that said energy. It was Cynthia. Dun, 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 dun. So Kenya and Eva are going back and forth, and then child, Marlo gets there. And so, you know, Marlo just jumps on the opportunity to ram down Eva's throat. Now, mind you, I like Eva on the show, but for some reason, I just feel like I side with Marlo, even though Marlo's not all the way right. I just side with Marlo on this battle just because, you know, Marlo comes in, and so they go back and forth, and, you know, Marlo's like, you're living above your means. You need to stay within your means. And so Eva's like, you know what? I'm not going to get attacked by Kenya and Marlo. I'm going to go. So, like, as she's walking out, she's saying smart stuff. And then she takes a dig at Marlo, like, listen, I'm pregnant. That's something that she will never know or never experience, so she could never understand. Ooh, come on. Come on, Shade. So, you know, it's a lot of fireworks at this barbecue. And so Cynthia's like, well, listen, let's try to, like, you know, turn it around. So let's play a little shady game. So they give out little awards, like who could twerk the best, who's the shadiest, who's thirsty, who's insecure. So they give the best twerk off to Shamia, even though I think it was Portia, because Portia was shaking her tail. Now, if I was there, okay, they would have given the award to Bryce Isaiah for the twerk, 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 twerk. Okay, let me wet the whistle and give me a little Yin Yang Twins. Okay, let me whisper in your ear. I would get it popping. The shadiest award went to Marlo, I think. The thirsty award went to Yavanna, because Yavanna was trying to say, it's Tanya. And they're like, girl, are you serious? And so they gave it to Yavanna. So that was that episode. It really, the Bailey Q really was spicy. But obviously, we keep seeing these recurring issues. It's obviously, it's going to be this Nene and Cynthia battle of the bush. And then obviously, we see this Marlo situation. We're kind of playing the mediator, but getting along with all the girls. And we really see a lot of, like, Kenya and, like, her brokenheartedness. I feel so bad for my girl, Kenya. Well, all right, guys, that wraps up the menu for this week. Now, I want to do some quick, just a couple Purple Pants picks. Now, as we get into the Purple Pants picks, I got a really, really good one this week. It was from SD Bro 17. She writes, can you remind us what exactly this means? You want your opinions or items. So, you know what? I was like, well, what you mean? It's the Purple Pants Picks. It's my favorite part of the podcast. But what I'm realizing is, as our podcast continues to grow, okay, we're getting new listeners. You know what? From time to time, I might have to break some things down. So the Purple Pants Picks is a portion of our segment on the podcast where basically it's like, I want to hear from you because, you know, this is a us thing. We go together. So I really want to know what you guys want to hear from me. If you see something online like, oh my God, an elephant ate a cheesesteak, you know, type it to me so I could do some research and report back to you. Or if it's a TV show you want me to watch, or if you got a question for me about a TV show you watching or anything, we go together. So the Purple Pants Picks is really like the Purple Pants Posse's picks what you want me to talk about. Obviously, I get the menu together for us, what I'm watching, any current events, but literally I can't, my eyes and ears aren't everywhere. So that's where the Purple Pants Posse comes in, that you give me the pics, what you see out there, what I need to be talking about. So it's really anything, guys. So for the new listeners out here, thank you so much for listening. And if you are listening now, please take the time to subscribe to this podcast, rate, write me a review, because listen, we trying to do some big things out here. But the Purple Pants Picks is my favorite part of this episode, and you just really get to pick what you want your baby boy to talk about. It's, there's no rules here, okay? We go together. Now I'm going to pick another one, because I'm so excited, because I want to get into, you know, I want to introduce y'all to the lady of the hour, Miss Barbara. And so I really got another great one that I wanted to read, and I got this from Jessica Lawrence on the Purple Pants Podcast Instagram. She goes, giving back ideas this holiday season. I love the holiday season, and what I love most about the holiday season is that people are in the most giving spirit. They love to give. So a lot of the times, you know, I'm a social worker, and you know, you can reach out to your local child welfare agencies and talk about maybe adopting a family, adopting a child. And that way, like, you know, you guys can, you know, how it generally works at the agency that I used to be with was that people would contact us and say like, hey, we really want to adopt an agency. And so then us as social workers would get lists from our families of like the things that they need or wanted, and then we would assign them to people, and boom, that's a great way to like really support a family during this time of need, because a lot of the times, you know, there's a lot of children out here that don't have it like, you know, how we have it, how blessed we are, and we take for granted a lot of things, and it doesn't have to be something so expensive, but it's just like, you know, the fact that someone would take the time out of their time, their money, to really kind of donate. Another way that you guys can give back is like, you know, the Big Brother Big Sister programs. They're always looking for different candidates, and this way you don't have to give back monetarily. You can give back your time. You can become a big brother to someone, a big sister to someone, a support. You know, I'm always about, you know, helping someone out. You know, I feel like I'm not in the Big Brother Big Sister program, but I've got so many little brothers that I, you know, keep in contact with, that I like just support and love like they my own kids. That's also another way to give back. You know, the homeless shelters, you can volunteer there. You can clean out your closet and donate it. So this is the one thing about when you donate clothes. I don't like them, like, you know, them bins on the side of the road sometimes that you can donate. I don't be liking giving them to those places, because like they then sell your clothes for profit. I like to look up the local, like, woman shelter, the local, you know, the local homeless shelters. Or sometimes, like, you know, if I go through my closet, like, in the city of Philadelphia, like, by the Ben Franklin Bridge, there is, like, a rather large homeless community. So sometimes, you know, I try to do it maybe once or twice a year when I clean out my closet. I will, like, try to, like, you know, put little bags together of like maybe some jeans, some underwear, some shoes, and then I will, like, you know, literally just go out and boom, give it to somebody and be a blessing that way. And here's another little tip that the singer Tank said. When you guys are giving, like, if you ever want to give money to the homeless, you ever want to give somebody food, like, don't record it. You ever see those people, like, you know, these alleged, you know, Instagram influencers, you know, oh, listen, I gave money to the homeless, or like, here you go, sir, get something to eat. Like, I never liked it. I never agreed upon it. Like, first of all, if you're going to do something, do it from the bottom of your heart. Do it because you want to give it. Don't do it because you want clout on social media. And Tank said it the best. He said, imagine you at your worst time in your life and somebody putting that on Instagram Live or Facebook Live. So just remember that in this holiday season, there's plenty of ways for you guys to give back. I love to hear the stories about you guys giving back, but just make sure that you're giving back for the right reasons and not, you know, just for the love of your heart. And so that really means the world, you know, because I love the holiday season. I always try to, like, you know, give gifts to people. And I don't try to give expensive gifts. I try to give meaningful gifts. Like, you know, I try to remember something that they said or something that they liked, and going out of my way to find something that just means so special to somebody. So, you know, and also give your family member, give your grandparents a call. Give your aunties a call that you haven't heard from in a long time, or you don't normally reach out to them. You know, let's remember our elderly community as well. Guys, you know, we got to think about everybody. We're so busy in our lives that sometimes we get caught up in our own lives, and I completely understand. And I have to do better with this as well, reaching out to my aunts and my uncles and things like that. But, you know, sometimes the holiday spirit, you know, it brings it to us. But all right, so that's this week's Purple Pants Picks. And generally, guys, I will post something to my Instagram story like Thursday, Friday, Saturday that says Purple Pants Picks. So you want a question, a topic, that's how you hit it. Hit it on the Purple Pants Picks. Okay. All right, now moving right along, we have the special guest that we've been promising you, the woman of the hour, not to be confused from Barb from the Midwest, but we have my mom, Miss Barb from Philly. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bryce.
Yeah, oh, girl, that was so dry. Hi. Talk up into the microphone.
Thank you, Bryce. I'm glad to be here with you.
Okay, girl, well, before we get started, let's get your cocktail. Let's wet the whistle. Oh, she's got a straw. Barb is bougie today. Ooh. Mm. Oh, come on, let's wet the whistle. Well, all right, girl, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great.
Hold that microphone, thank you, to your mouth so we can hear you.
I'm feeling just great today.
All right, well, that's good. How's it feel to be on the Purple Pants podcast?
It's an honor.
Okay, girl, well, we're going to need a little more than just two word answers from you, hun. So, you know, the people have been wanting to talk to Barb. They love Barb. You're a national treasure, is what someone said.
Well, first of all, it's just so, it's such an honor to be here with you and to see that you have accomplished so much.
Girl, I ain't accomplished nothing, but go on.
Don't cut me off. I'm your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it real.
I'm the host, so no, keep it cute.
But no, I'm so proud of you, and it's such an honor to be here with you. And I just thank God, and I'm
oh, okay. Pray, come on, pray. Praise hallelujah. Well, yeah. All right, girl.
I'm just a proud mom.
Oh, well, you know, we they love it. So, yeah, so what I wanted to do on this quick episode since I got you, because, child, let's just tell the story real quick. So we had Thanksgiving yesterday, guys, and, you know, generally our tradition is that, like, after Thanksgiving, the day after, we put the Christmas tree up. And so, obviously, you know, John got to be a part of the Christmas tree. And so if you remember anything of the gazebo story, then you know the Christmas tree is nothing. It's the same thing. Okay. You know, the Christmas tree has to be angled right. All right. And don't hang an ornament without, what do you call those things, mom? Like the ornament hangers. What do you call them?
The hooks.
That was a whole situation. We couldn't find the hooks. And, you know, John packed the Christmas tree way last year. So, you know, we're like, he's like, where's the hooks? I don't know where the hooks are. Okay, he's ready to run out the door to Walmart to get them hooks. And then I found the hooks. And then, you know, so it was just a big ordeal. So we had, like, so much fun, you know, getting to the holiday spirit, you know, putting some Christmas music on, playing some holiday music, you know, wetting our whistle, you know, hold your glass in your hand, mom, because you're, like, being real dry today. Okay, so what are we wetting the whistle with today?
It's a drink that you've put together.
So it's kind of like a margarita. Like I said, my mom and John have everything here. So they've got tequila. They had like a little pineapple margarita. Then I, like, you know, cut up some fresh lemon. I cut up some pineapple. I put like a Canada Dry soda in it.
Isn't there Tito's in this drink?
No, there's no Tito's. But my mom, first of all, so I get here and there's this big bottle of Tito's. And my mom's like, I've never had this before. I'm like, girl, obviously you hear me talk that I'm drinking Tito's all the time. So now they have Tito's in it too. But hold on, wait, let me just wet the whistle. Mm.
Well, let me just say, I first heard of Tito's listening to the podcast.
So if that's what you're saying, then why, when I got here, you was like, have you ever heard of this drink? John just picked this up at the store.
I was playing you.
Oh, girl. Okay. Now she was playing. But let me wet the whistle. Okay. Well, that was our day today. So we waited till tonight so that we could get a little loose. But child, Barb is winding down. She's an old girl. What I figured was, I posted some questions on my Instagram, and people, you know, have some questions for you. So I figured I could ask you the questions and you can answer it. And then, you know, I do a segment on my show called Advice with Bryce. So I've got two really good advices with Bryce that I figure that we can do, if that's okay.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So, okay, let's just wet the whistle again, girl. Okay, let's cheers. Cheers to Barb. Be on the Purple Pants podcast. She's drinking out of a straw, so you can't really hear her. Okay. So, we have from Taylor Wilford from, you don't have to read it, girl. I'll read it to you. Just listen. Sit back and drink your Tito's. So Taylor Wilford wants to know, did Bryce bring you some Purple Pants wine glasses, Barb?
No, he did not.
No, I did not. I sent her the link. She could buy them like all of y'all can buy them. Okay? Please.
No, he did not bring his mother any wine glasses. While we're on the subject, nor has he given me a t-shirt or a hat.
Okay, child, I sent you the link, okay? You and John can swipe your credit card and buy them. This ain't free, please.
I think as your mother, I should be giving them free.
Okay, girl, well, listen, okay.
All right, let's take a consensus, everyone. What do you think?
No, we're not going to do that today. All right, so we have another one. I don't know, how would you pronounce this name? A-B-A, Abba?
Abba.
Okay, so Mr. Abba on Instagram wants to know, Barb, what did you think when your son told you he was going to be on Survivor?
Oh my God. First of all, when he told me, I was shocked. And then fear said it.
Fear? Because fear of what?
The unknown, because you were going to go to a country and I would not know where you were. And for all your life, I've known where you were. So that was an experience for me. And I was so excited for him. And then I was proud of him.
You was proud that I got voted out third?
Listen, there are folk walking around on this earth that didn't make the first.
Okay.
So you were on the show. I mean, that's a milestone to me.
I mean, okay.
You don't always have to be.
I'm not saying I'm very proud of where I placed. Third is fine,
yes,
with me. But I'm just saying, you know, you was proud that I got voted out third.
I was very proud. I was very proud of where you were. Whatever you accomplish is that's where you're supposed to be at that point in time.
So let's just test her knowledge. What was the name of my season?
Caveon.
And now y'all wonder where I get it from. Wait, what's the name? What was the name of my season?
Caveon. It was Brains and Beauty.
Okay, y'all, I was on season 28, Caveon. Brains, Brawn, and Beauty. What tribe was I on?
Beauty.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I don't have my bell with me, but ding. All right, moving right along. Bach Irish wants to know, do you remember how you felt when Bryce had the poop incident when he went to visit your son in jail? Do you remember that story?
I do.
What do you remember of that story?
I remember that
you're moving back.
We were in the prison.
Okay. Okay. Love after lockup before was love after lockup. Okay.
When you first go through the prison, they search you.
Okay.
And I could see Bryce was getting a little uncomfortable. But then when that metal met metal, that cling, it's the, a cling.
Metal met goes, metal. What
yes,
the?
When they close the doors and you go on the other side.
Okay.
It's a feeling that, you know, oh my God, I'm locked in this place. And it seemed like Bryce, it just became so anxious.
Well, girl, first of all, this was not our first time visiting Brian. Second of all, girl, it was the Roy Rogers that we had on the way up. Okay, so I don't know, metal meets metal, but
this is, that was my take on it.
Okay.
I didn't think about the Roy Rogers.
Well, you didn't even see me throw up. Like
No, I didn't. I just know he got up and said, you got up and said you had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And you were gone an awfully long time.
You didn't notice the security guards running over to the bathroom, sifting through my throw up?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I just wanted to know where you were.
I'm just shy. She wasn't looking for me then. Okay. So we have another one. So this is MoHill91 wants to know, what was something cute Bryce used to do when he was little? Oh, this is a cute one.
Bryce kept me informed on what was going on in the household.
Oh.
He would always approach me and he would say, girl, you didn't hear it from me, but you need to check X, Y, and Z.
Oh, so you were saying that I had the Purple Pants podcast before the Purple Pants podcast was a thing.
He did.
Oh, so I was spilling the tea back in the day.
On his brothers.
Oh, okay.
Every day.
Okay, well, you don't sound appreciative of it.
Oh, no. I thought it was cute myself.
Oh.
You know, I don't know how your brothers felt about it, but it was great for me.
Oh, you didn't hear it from me, but okay, we might have to use that line up in the podcast. Okay, so we got a really good one that I thought maybe you can appreciate this. Let me pull it up. Single Mom RV Life says, hi Bryce and Barb. First, I want to say hello, Barb. sharp. You raised an amazing man. Bryce, you are kind. Come on, single mom RV. Smart. Come on, single mom RV. Compassionate. Come on, single mom RV. Insightful. And the list goes on and on. I'm curious to hear whatever Barb wants to share about raising kids as a single mom. I am a recent widow, and I am blessed when I hear strong women who have raised their kids on their own. Thanks for raising your son with us, mom. Aw, come on, single mom RV.
Thank you so much.
Her name's Monica, by the way.
Hi, Monica. From one single parent to another, we both know it's not easy raising our children. The world today is just so cruel, and we're always on the protective mode. And sometimes it's the attack mode. If someone hurts your child, you're hurt. And you know, as a single parent, you have no life.
Oh.
Your life is raising your children. And as a black mother raising four boys, it was very, very difficult. Some people would ask me, how did I do it? And I would tell them, I cry a lot. And they thought it was funny, but I was really being serious. Each one of them had their own individual personalities, and you worry about all of them. So consequently, what I would do is before we would leave out the house every day.
Okay.
We'd stand at the top of the stairs, hold hands, and we would pray.
Okay.
And we would pray for God to protect all of us, to get them to their destinations and back home safely.
Okay.
And that way I knew and I felt that that was the best thing that I could do.
Come on, Monica. Yes. What a great question. Now, sip your glass, because I'm about to ask you a question about that prayer circle we used to have every day. I think she's knowing where I'm about to go. So, sip, wet your whistle, girl.
I don't need to wet my whistle.
Okay, chat.
All right.
So, let me just, can you just confirm or deny?
I know.
During the prayer circle, did you or did you not ever?
Defense.
Okay, I didn't even ask the question. Okay, because Monica, you get in one side of Barb. I'm about to let y'all into another side of Barb. But did you or did you not in that very same prayer circle that you was asking God to protect your children, did you have to lay out one of your sons, knock him to the ground during a prayer circle?
I had to lay hands on my son, Bevan.
Okay.
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
We were praying. I opened my eyes and Bevan was clowning as he normally did. And I reached across and I hit him.
Touched him. Father God, touched him. Okay.
And the next thing I knew, Bevan was falling to the floor.
Okay.
And then the next thing, Bryce runs downstairs.
Okay.
Picks up the telephone.
911.
My mother just killed my brother. And I'm like, all I wanted to do was have prayer.
Okay. Listen, Monica, you got to protect the kids outside the house.
I was
and
ready.
Inside.
At that point, I'm saying, okay, now I'm going to jail.
Love after lockup. Who is going to write Barb?
And as you know, as a single parent, there is never, ever a dull moment.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, child.
Bevan came too.
Not came too, girl.
And I sent them to school, and I went to work, and I didn't have to go to jail.
Oh, okay. That's all she wrote. Child Protective Services going to have to call. All right. So we have another one. How would you say that name? Alkia. Okay. She writes, does Barb have any skincare secrets? Please share. She's always glowing in the photos that you post.
Well,
you have a very stringent or stringent, not stringent, very, you know.
One thing that my grandmother always told me that after you wash your face and you rinse it, no matter how cold it is outside, you rinse it with cold water three times, which closes your pores.
Mm.
I use a lot of, I believe in moisturizing your skin.
Okay.
I clean it with an astringent at night.
Okay.
I use a
mint julep.
On my face every night to clean it, and then I wash it oil of Olay.
Oh, come on, yes.
And then I do the rinsing, and that's it. And I don't wear makeup. I just have on a little blush because my grandmother told us we didn't need makeup, so we didn't use it.
Is mascara considered makeup?
Well, you know,
okay.
Anything you put on your face, to me, really is makeup.
So then you do wear makeup.
So what I'm saying is foundation, you know, the foundations I don't wear.
Okay. But blush, so you would consider blush makeup?
I do.
Okay, so then you do use makeup.
No.
Well, I'm just going off of what you said, girl.
And as a young girl, I had very, very bad skin. So I'm very conscious of my skin, and I take a lot of time with my skin. I drink a lot of water.
Girl, are you up on the Purple Pants podcast lying?
Stop playing. I do drink water.
Okay, how much water have you drunk today?
I drink 2 glasses of water.
I didn't see any
to
water.
To me, that's a lot.
Okay. And do you drink more water or tequila?
No, it's vodka.
Oh. Okay, girl. Barbie wet in the whistle. All right.
But that's what my grandmother told me to do, and that's what I do. I find the cold water really, really helps.
All right. Well, you listen, they say your skin is glowing, girl. Okay.
Thank you.
123 Snappy says, what's your favorite creamer?
International.
Oh, come on. International Delight.
And it's the new one Bryce just brought to me. It's, what's it called, Bryce?
I don't know. Is it the Cinnamon French Toast Crunch one?
Cinnamon French Toast. Yes. Or Southern Pecan.
Come on, Southern Pecan. Well, listen, Mom. You know, International Delight, I've been trying to get them to get me to, like, you know, notice me. They don't really notice who I am. Now, Coffee Mate, you know, just follow me on Twitter. And they have some new flavors out. They got a Funfetti. And they have, I don't know what the other one, but I'm going to have to try it. So I have to report back to you and let you know what I think. So here's another one. It says, this is from Miss Hanley 22. What's your favorite memory of baby/child/teen Bryce?
My favorite memory of Bryce is, this is going to sound crazy, but to me it means a lot. Bryce was my first full-term
yeah, full what?
Baby.
Yes,
oh. I carried him for 9 months.
Oh.
I had 4 sons.
Okay.
All the other 3 were preemies. Bryce was my first full-term baby, and that was such an accomplishment to me.
Oh, so I put your ass on bed rest.
Yes, he did.
Oh.
From 4 months on, I was on total bed rest.
Mm.
And when I waddled into that hospital to give birth, trust me, yes, that was an accomplishment for me.
Oh, come on, God. Then we have another one from Jill Wanders. What does Barb like to wet her whistle with? So we kind of already answered this, but we can answer it again. So what's your favorite what's your favorite thing to wet your whistle to? So
margarita.
Margarita and a girl. Now, y'all see how Barb likes to switch it up? Because 2 seconds ago, she just said vodka. But my mom does love a good margarita. So do I. I love a margarita as well, too. This is Kata Barber. This is my barber. She says, how does she put up with your shenanigans? There are no shenanigans. I don't have shenanigans, okay?
I pray a lot.
Oh, okay.
I pray before I open my mouth, because sometimes when I open my mouth, I can't promise you what's
child. Don't let this sweet, soft voice of Barb fool you, because she get real nasty real quick. Oh, you know what? We'll save that till later. And then we have another question from the one and only Sarah. She writes, what shows are you currently watching?
Oh, wow. I'm watching Watchmen with Regina King.
Okay, that's on HBO, right?
That's on HBO. And also Power.
Okay.
Wait. You want to know who shot me? Okay. My take on it, everyone got a little shot on Ghost.
Okay. Okay. Are you Team Tasha?
No, not really.
Oh, girl, I love Tasha.
Tasha,
she's a, you know, raising her kids out here, single mom doing what she has to do.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think she has to teach her son how to go into the streets and sell drugs.
Well, I mean,
and
listen,
that's just me.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, like,
what she's doing what she has to do.
Right.
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm not judging, I'm just saying. That's all.
Well, what other shows are you watching? Let's hold the microphone to you. Thank you.
I'm trying.
Girl, you just.
I'm at a loss. What was I telling you, bro?
Before we even came up, first of all, we're in my mom's bed right now. It's nice and comfy. She got I don't know what type of mattress is. A foam. What's this?
It's a foam.
A memory foam. A nice king size in her master suite. I did take a bath, so I didn't have to take a bath in Wendell's house today. I took a bath in my mom's house. But first of all, I don't even know why my mom's up here fronting, because we just ate dinner and John was like, oh, what's coming on tonight? First of all, so you don't watch any Chicago Blue?
Chicago Blue?
I mean, you don't watch any of the Chicago PD? You don't watch any of that?
Okay, on Wednesday night. Okay, here we go. Okay, okay.
Yes, they want to know what shows are you watching?
On Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is Chicago night. Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago PD.
Okay, so, but right. I just also want y'all to know, she just said, what Chicago? Okay, she just named all of them.
911.
Okay.
I love 911.
You love Pose.
I adore Pose. While watching Pose, you go through every emotion God has gifted you with.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly love Pose. The haves and the have-nots.
Do you watch Ambition?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you watch Love After Lockup?
No, I don't have to, because when I listen to the podcast, you make it so real, I don't have to. But I am going to watch it, because I want to put the name with the face.
Okay.
So I'm curious with that, you know. And Greenleaf?
Greenleaf. Oh, Greenleaf is a good one. I have fallen off of Greenleaf, but Greenleaf is a good one. Do you watch any of the Housewives franchises?
No, I have not. Okay. But I don't have to. I'm learning through you as I listen to your podcast every week.
Okay.
And I also watch Queen Sugar.
Oh, Queen Sugar is good too.
So,
all right. Well, so that's going to conclude our X Barb. Now, you know, on my podcast, I do a segment called Advice Bright. So I have some really good two ones came in this week that I figured I'd do. But also, so I'm going to ask your advice, girl. So you know, podcast. You know, Robert Sestorino. I do some podcasts with him. But I've got this hater. Her name's Barb from the Midwest. And every time Robert posts something about me, she goes, oh, I just can't stand him. I just can't listen to him.
Why, Barb?
So what you got? Anything you want to share? Anything? What you want to say to Barb? Barb from the Midwest. This is Barb from the Philly. What
first of all, I want to say, hey, Barb, how are you?
Keep it cute.
Why are you hating on my son?
Okay.
But, you know, don't judge.
My mom's keeping it cute.
I'm being real. And really, if you hate him that much.
She never said she hates you. I just can't listen to him.
But obviously, you are listening.
Okay.
So you're taking away something from the show. You're getting something out of
okay.
it.
Okay.
So kind of like step back.
Step back, or she'll make you step back in a prayer circle. Barb from the Midwest. Keep it cute, sis. All right. So we've got a really good advice for Bryce. this advice of Bryce's goes, it's dear Bryce, I love you in the podcast and sorry to be awkward, but I have to tell you that you are my friend in my head, and you know how that could be. Hey, friend in my head. Anyway, my question is, how do you keep from comparing yourself to others? I feel like I'm on a journey to improve myself and my life, and I think I'm finally getting somewhere and things are looking up for my future. Overall, I feel pretty good about how things are going, but whenever I see how much other people have accomplished by my age, I feel terrible. Even just catching up with old friends sometimes makes me feel ashamed of how little I've accomplished. Even though my friends are not judgy or rude about it, I know the feeling comes from me, and I want to get rid of it. I don't think that life is competitive or a race. I just get worried that I'm the only one who has taken so long to figure things out. What do you think? Thank you, and hit me up if you're ever in Stockholm again. Yes, come on, Stockholm. I'm actually thinking about coming to Stockholm in 2020. Come on, we international. Megan. So what I would say to you, Megan, is that first of all, it's great that you surround yourself with friends that aren't judging or not supporting you. But I feel like I talked about this on one of my last podcasts, which was, you know, people put these unrealistic timelines on themselves, and that you got to grow up, you got to accomplish this by this. And I always say, forget the timeline. There's no timeline to your life. You are whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to become. It's you. You know, there is no timeline about when you figure out what you want to do, how you want to do it, where you want to do it. And so, no, you are like a flower. Is there a timeline on a flower? When you put the flower in the soil, you know, sometimes it says 2 to 3 weeks, okay? But sometimes the flower doesn't bloom in 2 to 3 weeks. You know, it has to get the right amount of water. The sun has to hit it. It's got to feel comfortable in the soil for it to bloom. So you just have to remember to yourself, Megan, that like there's nothing to compare. You are a seed in soil and you are receiving your water. You're receiving the sun. And when it's time for you to bloom, you're going to bloom. And so I always say, you know, surround yourself with people that you want to be like. So it's not necessarily that you're comparing yourself to people, but surround yourself with people that you admire. Surround yourself with people that you want to be like so that you know how to model, so that you can actually see from a front hand. And, you know, more recently, like, you know, I try to surround myself with people that I admire, that, you know, have work ethic that I want to be like, you know, that have, you know, businesses that I want to have. And so I ask my friends, how you do that? Where you do that from? You know, ask questions. Don't be ashamed of where you're at. You know, it's not about where you came from, but it's about where you're going, Megan. So that would be my advice to you, is that, like, you know, it's like you said, it's not, you know, a competition, and be proud of your accomplishments and, you know, continue to soar, but at your own pace. Forget about that timeline. Throw that timeline out the window and you got to live day to day. Barb, what would you suggest to Megan?
Well, Megan, first of all, you are a unique individual and God has a plan for each one of us.
Come on,
Pastor
Barb.
Our timeline is our timeline. Do not compare yourself to anyone, because there's only one Megan. And do not think that you have to complete X, Y, and Z in one day. Whatever you have been gifted with, that's what you use each day. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am beautiful.
Okay.
I am gifted and I am loved. And whatever it is you do each day, that's what you do. People today, everyone's looking at the other person and saying, oh, I wish I had her hair, or I wish I was her size, or I wish my skin looked like hers. No, you are who God wants you to be. So rest in that and know that whatever it is God wants you to do, only you can do it. So step out on faith and just keep looking forward and don't worry about the other folk, because you are doing just fine.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, Megan, you can, the smallest thing that you could do could be just giving someone a hug, and you can just, you won't even know what it does to their life or how it makes them feel. And maybe your gift is in that, encouraging others.
Okay.
But I also want you to encourage yourself.
Right.
And okay, so Bryce laughs at me all the time because I'm going to give you a scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So girl, there's nothing you can't do. So just do it and put a smile on your face and say, I'm bad.
Oh.
I'm not going to curse, Megan, but you know what I'm saying? I'm a bad what? Okay?
I'm a bad bitch.
Oh, see, my son said it, but yes.
Period. All right, well, come on, Pastor Barb. Pastor Barb done came through. Preach. Preacher. All right. Thanks, Megan. So, all right, then we've got another good one. So this one's a little different. So, hi, Bryce. I've been with my boyfriend for a period of time, and I love him so much, but I have a problem with his lack of hygiene. He was an only child to a single mother and never had an older male in his life to teach him how to take care of himself. Every time I bring it up, he gets really down on himself, like he tells me he hates himself. I try to tell him that taking care of his hygiene would be a great step towards loving himself, but he doesn't believe me. Over the years, I've tried encouraging him. I've tried reasoning with him. I've tried to give him a checklist with basic hygiene tasks for men. I've tried every healthy way I can think of to convince him to take better care of himself, but nothing I've been able to do will gets through to him. He knows this is the reason we are almost never sexual, but instead of motivating him to try, it makes his self-esteem plummet. I hope you can think of something new for me to try. Anonymous. This person wants to remain anonymous. Well, anonymous, this is a interesting take on it. And so, you know, me coming from my social work field, a lot of times I go, like, not dark places, but a lot of the time, some of the sign, you know, when we're working with children and children have like a hygiene issue, I've oftentimes see it become from, like, you know, maybe a child was like sexually abused, and they oftentimes sometimes don't clean themselves to kind of like ward off predators. Now, I'm not saying this is the case for that, but we don't really know. I don't really know the age of your partner or yourself, but I'm assuming it's the age that you should kind of know whether or not, like, you know, the hygiene is an issue or not. So one thing that I take from this is that you guys have been together for years and that you said that you love him. So obviously, like, you're committed to him. And so I think that that's great. However, one thing that I've known with my friends and my relationships is that, like, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. So it's got to be for him. So we've got to figure out what is going on with him that, like, this hygiene, because a lot of the times, a lot of things that we go through as adults kind of refer back to our childhood. And so there might be a trauma there. And I'm not necessarily saying sexual, but there might be a trauma there. And then a lot of times that, like, you know, the trauma wreaks havoc in our adult life. And we can never figure out what's going on, why we're doing these things. But sometimes, you know, maybe we can suggest therapy. Maybe, you know, he can go to a therapist or, you know, find in a comfortable space to kind of like cope with that trauma, because it's definitely something more there. Because I don't know too many men that, like, you know, want to be like, now, funky monkey. Now, I, for instance, like when I work out, when I go running, I like to be a little funky. Okay. Like, I like my, sometimes my own aroma like motivates me to like wanting to work out. But obviously, like, you know, Anonymous, you saying if you, y'all can't even be nasty because, like, you know, his funk is like, you know, that much of a problem. So the one suggestion I could say is therapy. However, another suggestion, maybe you could try to get a little nasty in the shower, you know, try to, like, you know, convince him get in the shower, you know, play a little game, little soapy, rubby, dubby, dubby, you know, back of the tub, you know, clean, you know, under them areas, you know, you know, I'm just saying, sometimes think out of the ordinary. And maybe, hey, maybe that's like some sexual gratification from him, and also for a way for you to kind of like clean them. And, you know, I'm sure you got needs too, girl. So, you know, that's the only thing that I can say. But definitely, there's definitely some, there's some more there. And I think that it's more important to figure out for him, for his well-being, and, you know, for the sake of your relationship, because you guys must be young, and, like, you know, this has to be an issue. So that's one of the suggestions that I can think. What about you, Mom?
I think, as I was listening to you talk and reading what she was saying, I don't think he likes himself.
Well, I mean, that's what she said.
Yeah. And I think that he was never taught how to take care of himself. A lot of children today, the parents let the children raise themselves. So they don't know a lot of things. I was just talking about this the other day with my stepdaughter. And when I was working in schools, the kids are not taught health and hygiene. And they grow up and then they become adults and they still are not aware of it or what to do or how to do. And then at some point they become embarrassed and angry with themselves.
Right. And so that's obviously where we're at this point. But what is like something that she can do, because she brings it up to him and he tells her that he hates himself even more. So it's like she's kind of like damned if she does, damned if she, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And so that's what, again, I was saying is that, like, you know, she can't want it more than him.
He has to want it more than she.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And I don't want to suggest like any couple like break up. But also, like, you know, if he but what I'm just saying is that, like, if he doesn't love himself enough, like, how can he love her? Because in order to love someone else, you got to love yourself. Right. And so, again, obviously, you want to be quiet because it's
I kind of feel like he grew up without love.
And so, right. But
so he doesn't know really what to do.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can't truly love someone else if you don't love yourself.
Exactly.
So, right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we got to get to the root of, like, aside from the relationship.
Something happened to him as a child, you know, and
like, for instance, let me tell you this quick story.
He put it back in of his mind and he's not dealing with it.
For sure. And that's what I'm saying. So quick story. When I was in third grade, we had gym class. And so we used to walk to the park. There was a park near our school and we played soccer. I was really good at soccer. And so maybe third or fourth grade, I didn't wear deodorant at the time because, you know, I was still a baby boy. So we went to play soccer. It was like the first time, you know, I was like teased kind of somewhat in school. So, like, you know, he used to call me gay. And so, like, you know, I always, you know, I just, like, I wasn't always the most confident. But here, this is like this one time that, like, they're playing soccer. And I'm like, oh my God, this is something that I'm good at. So we, like, they pick teams. teams. I was playing soccer and I was so good. Like, I mean, I was like out there killing it. And like, it was like, oh my God, look at Bryce. So like, it was like a great day for me. Like, I just remember in my head, like, oh my God, like they like me finally. And so like, we walked back to school and like, we went back to class, and I will never forget, we got back to class and like, the kids was like, what's that smell? And like, basically, like, I like was running so hard and playing, I was like funky. And at this time, I didn't wear deodorant. And so I will never forget, like, I was just like, they were like, oh my God, it's Bryce, you smell like a hoagie. I will never forget that day as long as I live. And I'll never forget, I like got home that day, I called my mom, I was like, mom, I need deodorant. And like, you know, and ever since, my mom came home with like some band. And ever since that day, I've always been over hypersensitive of my hygiene smell. Like, if anyone's ever met me, I keep perfume in my car. I always spray myself down. It's because, like, I never want to, like, smell funky unless I'm running. But, like, you know, so that's something that stuck with me. So, what, like, again, I feel like there's something that might have happened in his childhood that he maybe is not aware of it. And, you know, sometimes we kind of, like, put things down. Like, we, like, subconsciously suppress them. And he's not thinking about it. So maybe I would encourage, you know, to maybe seek out some counseling and meet with a professional to kind of like explore his childhood. Because I definitely think, you know, we want y'all to go strong. We want y'all, you know, to be able to get nasty. We want you guys to be able to get intimate and get close. So, you know, that's what we would suggest. You know, report back to us and let us know what you guys.
And he also needs to build up his self-esteem.
Definitely.
He's suffering from low self-esteem.
And that's something that therapy could assist him with.
Exactly.
So, you know, report back to us and, you know, let us know what happens. You know, you need to talk to Mother Barb. We can get her on the line. But, you know, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Barb, for coming on the Purple Pants podcast. Can't wait to see the response, what the people think about meeting you for the first time. They're so obsessed with you. They're so obsessed with Sunshine. We had to lock Sunshine out the room because she was kind of getting weirded out by the microphones. But thank you so much, Mom, for coming on. Any last words to the Purple Pants Posse before we go?
Well, I want to say a thank you for having me, and to the Purple Pants Podcast, please continue to support
my son
because he is a great guy.
Aww.
I'm really so proud of Bryce, and I'm not just because he's my son. I see how he reaches out. He cares about people. He helps people even as a social worker. He's a great guy, and he's going to go far, and I'm proud of him.
Aww, well, thank you, Mom. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you. And I love you so much. And thank you so much for being a guest here at the Purple Pants Podcast. Oh, yes, that was my mommy. Oh, it's so crazy that you don't have a podcast and to be able to like have my mom on here. So let me know what you thought of Miss Barb. Okay. She was a little calm this time. Okay. We got to get her loose. I was trying to get her to wet the whistle. Okay. I was trying to get her to wet the whistle, baby girl. But let me know what you thought. What you thought of my mom. If you got any more questions, you know, we can always get Miss Barb to come on back. But yes, that was so exciting to have my mom on the episode. And last and not least, the freak of the week. Now, whoo, baby. Now, let me tell you know, I'm out here, you know, doing my thing with these Zaddy calendars. You know, they all available for sale. And I'm just minding my business the other day. And I'm like, you know, I got a notification. It was like, boop, boop, boop. I said, what's, let me put my reading glasses on. Let me go to the Instagram, and I go to the Instagram, and whoo, the Zaddy of Zaddies, you know, Chris Underwood, whoo, Chile, then posted a photo with the Zaddy calendar. Okay, yes. So, and listen, he looking mighty, mighty fine. If you ask me, you know me, I'm a super fan of Chris Underwood. He's such an amazing guy. I was so shocked that he would do something like that for me. I'm like, first of all, how he even get a calendar? I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Friends support friends. So, first of all, he was doing a bit much. She like ordered a calendar under an anonymous name so that I wouldn't know that he was ordering. First of all, Chris, you gotta just call me. I would have gave you a calendar. But yes, come on, y'all. So y'all gotta see Chris's photo on his Instagram page, C Underwood. Okay, it's his Instagram name. Yes. So please go to that page, and I need you to tag me and say, Freak of the Week, Purple Pants Podcast, Freak of the Week, Purple Pants Podcast, Freak of the Week is the Purple Pants Podcast. Yes. Okay. Whew. Yes, Freak of the Week under. Woo! Sorry, let me wet the whistle. Let me wet the whistle. All right, y'all. I'm getting hot and bothered. I gotta go. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for always supporting me. Y'all know I love you. So listen, because you know we go together. But make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast, rate this podcast, write a review, tell a friend to tell a friend to tag a friend to tell a friend. Yes, because you already know it's a.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.